This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is a practical show done by a practical guy. That's me. I am just an everyday guy. I'm not ex-law enforcement or ex-military or a gunsmith or anything like that. This week, I'm going to talk about red dot optics on pistols. And it's not going to be just me talking about it. I've got Jack Rumbaugh, one of the Tier 1 instructors from Suarez International, to talk to us about why you want a red dot sight on your pistol. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some different types of red dot sights by Trijicon and Leupold and manufacturers like that. We're going to talk about how guns are actually now being produced ready to accept red dot optics. And we're going to talk about why you might get some good advantages of shooting long distance with a pistol and why you want those types of skills. We're going to talk a little bit about active shooter and terrorist interdiction situations as well. So let me start off by saying my website, handgunworld.com. If you want to email me, comments, bob@handgunworld.com. Voicemails. Hey, episode 400 is coming up. Episode 400 is going to come out on Christmas Day. How about that? Hey, Christmas Day, you get to listen to episode 400 of the Handgun World Podcast. And what I would like to do is I'd like to make it all about you. I've already gotten a few voicemails. I'd like to get some more. I'd like you, the listener, to call in a voicemail. Tell me what you get out of the Handgun World Podcast. How does it help you? What kind of benefit do you get by listening each week to this show? My voicemail is 210-646-1727. That's the phone number, 210-646-1727. Please try to keep your comments down to 3 minutes if possible. So let's get right into it. Jack Rumbaugh from Suarez International. Stay tuned. Hey folks, one thing I forgot to mention before I go ahead and play the interview. Episode 400 is coming up. Episode 400 is going to release on Christmas Day. And I'm still looking for voicemails. I've got a few. I'd love to have several of them. Voicemails from you, the listener. Tell me what it is that you get from the Handgun World Podcast. How does it benefit you? I would love to get that feedback. You can voicemail me at 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. Episode 400 is going to be all about you. So send me a voicemail. Let me know what it is you think and what kind of benefit you get, and that would be greatly appreciated. Well, my special guest for this episode is Jack Rumbaugh from Suarez International. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been on this show before. It's been quite a while. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, life kind of gets in the way, but it's nice to be back.
Yeah, life gets in the way. And, you know, my listeners need to understand Jack now is practically my neighbor. He's here in San Antonio. How you liking it?
Well, it's taken me a while to get back to Texas, and I'm really glad I'm here.
Yeah, it's a little warmer than Northern Virginia?
Just a tiny bit, except today I'm not so sure. It's kind of chilly today, but the polar vortex sort of told me that I'm not built for the cold, and it's time to go somewhere south, and Texas was a perfect destination, and so we decided we'd pick up and move, and haven't regretted it for a minute.
I used to be built for the cold growing up in Wisconsin, but, you know, I've been out of Wisconsin longer than I actually live there, so I've kind of become a lightweight to the cold weather now.
Well, I'm just the opposite. I spent most of my youth in Florida, so I'm used to the heat and the humidity. So it's kind of nice getting back to it. No, not as much humidity, mind you, but the heat is definitely here.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the great gun-friendly state of Texas again. And I wanted to bring you on the show to talk about a couple things, to talk about red dot sights on pistols, which seems to be incredibly popular. And then we're going to talk a little bit about a terrorist interdiction class you got coming up, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so just to refresh people's minds in case it's, you know, in case they weren't listening a few years ago when you were on the show, tell people what you do.
Well, I'm a Tier 1 instructor and the director of training for Suarez International. I've been with them for about 11 years now and have enjoyed every minute of it.
And you're a Tier 1 instructor, and what are you primarily teaching these days?
Well, really soup to nuts. I've been doing M4 rifle gunfighting. I've been doing AK classes, pistol classes, shotgun classes. So I'm qualified to teach just about all of our curriculum. But I think my sweet spot is going to be the pistol. I do like the shotgun, and I absolutely love the terrorist interdiction class. It's probably my favorite one to teach.
And we're going to talk about that terrorist interdiction class coming up towards the end of this interview. But let's start with talking about red dot sights on pistols. I just put in my order. I just sent a third generation Glock 19 slide over to Suarez International. They verified they received it. Hopefully they're going to go to work on it pretty soon and put a Trijicon RMO7 on it for me. So what are your thoughts these days about red dots on pistols?
I can't imagine we ever lived without them. I was an early adopter. I think 2007 or 8 was when I picked up my first RMR, and I sent off my third gen Glock 19 slide and had it milled and slapped the red dot sight on there, started working with it, realized that this was really the wave of the future. And like a lot of well-seasoned warriors, my eyes aren't quite what they used to be when they were 20. So the red dot really does help me maintain that edge and keep me sharp. I'm a much better marksman with it than I am without it, even though I can still hit out to 100 yards with iron sights. It's just not as easy as it used to be when I was 20.
Why is it you think you're better? I mean, I know it helps us that have middle-aged eyes, but why else? What else does it do for you?
Well, part of it is you're almost superimposing the dot where you want the bullet to go. With a conventional sight picture, you have a lot of moving parts there. You have the rear sight, the notch in the rear sight. You have the front sight. You have to have it level on the top. You have to have an equal light on either side to have a nice sight and have nice sight alignment. And then when you superimpose that over your target, you're looking at three different planes. So you have the near plane of the rear notch. You have the front sight, which is still fairly close. But then when you're out at 20 yards or so, you're trying to focus on something at 20 yards. And your eyes can't do that. They have to focus on one thing or the other. That's why in, you know, conventional modern technique shooting, it's always front sight, front sight, front sight. You want to focus on that top edge of the front sight. Then you superimpose everything else. It's going to be a little bit blurry, but that's how you get your shots in. Now with the red dot, it's a little bit different. It's almost like a holographic sight where you're focused on the target, and all you're doing is bringing that red dot to where you want the round to go and pressing the trigger. And if you do everything that you do correctly, if you have good breath control, good trigger press, all that lines up, the bullet's going to go right where you want it to go.
Yeah. Now, I've shot a couple of pistols with red dots on them. I'm really looking forward to getting mine. One of the things I noticed is that it's so much easier to just find the red dot, put it on the target where you want it, the bullet to go, and nicely, smoothly press the trigger. There doesn't seem to be quite nearly as much thinking involved. Would you agree?
The learning curve is a little different, and it is point and shoot. It very much is a point and shoot type of a thing. When you're learning conventional marksmanship, there's a lot going on there. You have to master a lot of things. And with red dots, the conventional iron sights will guide you to the red dot as you're getting used to it. Once you're used to the red dot, it just kind of appears. It's a little bit uncanny. Once you've worked with it for, say, a week or so, it's going to be second nature.
Yeah, and once after that first week or so, and it becomes second nature, it's like all of a sudden extremely quick and effective.
that everybody that has adopted it has found that it is much quicker and much more effective than iron sights. And I can't stress enough, you need to have the iron sight technique down pat to fully utilize the red dot to its fullest potential. And if the red dot ever goes out, you still have those skill sets to fall back on. So that's, I want to emphasize iron sights, but the red dot is a nice complement to that. And you know, like I said, I've been running one for probably close to 8 years now, maybe even 9. And I can't imagine using iron sights on a gun for any reason.
You know, that comment you just made, I hear that from just about everybody I've ever talked to that uses a red dot on their pistol. They say, I can't ever imagine going back to iron sights.
You do have to have the skills there in case something breaks, but it's so much easier. And you know, we've discovered that a lot of the other manufacturers over the years have sort of embraced the concept. I mean, Glock's cutting slides from the factory for red dots. And then a lot of the other, like FN, I believe, has some guns come directly from the factory with red dots installed. So the market is being recognized by the major gun manufacturers out there that this is really a good thing. It's really a revolutionary idea, you know. And, you know, when people started putting red dots on rifles, it was like, what are you doing? Why are you putting this there? No one needs anything other than a telescopic sight or an iron sight. And as things progressed and people started using them, they realized that the red dot for most engagement distances was a lot faster and a lot easier.
Yeah, Smith & Wesson is making the M&P line already set up for red dot optics as well.
Yeah, they're all getting on the bandwagon, every last one of them.
And the other comment you just made there, you know, everybody puts now red dot sights on their rifles. And so I've always wondered, you know, if they put them on their rifles and it's okay to have them on rifles, how come they don't put them on their pistols? I think we're now getting to that point where everybody's seeing the value in it. Right.
Well, part of the problem was until just the last few years, you really didn't have something that was rugged enough to take the reciprocation of the slide. And that's, you know, that's not a great environment for a precision piece of optics to have to live. On a rifle, you don't have the slide, you know, and there's nothing reciprocating back and forth. It's pretty fixed.
True.
You know, yeah, it gets knocked around a little bit from the recoil, but nothing like the reciprocation of a Glock slide. And with the RMR, it's a rugged piece of kit. You can't break – well, you can break them, but it's very very difficult to break them. And it's amazing to me that other manufacturers haven't gotten on this bandwagon sooner. Now, I mean, Leupold has their version of it. There's several others that are hitting the market. I believe Vortex has one that has come out in the last year or so. And they're all trying to give the consumer – a choice. And I'm still a big RMR guy. Trijicon is bulletproof as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, for me, they've worked very, very well. That's not to say the other ones aren't great sights. I just haven't had a chance to put them through 9 years of abuse like I have this one RMR. All I do is change the batteries.
And which Trijicon RMR model do you have?
I have probably four different ones, and I'd have to actually look at the gun to tell you which one's on it.
But you've got one or two that are like 8 or 9 years old?
I've got – this one is a 2 MOA dot, and it's at least 8 years old.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Great to hear that durability. Now, you said it's a 2 MOA dot. I see that there's, you know, 3 MOAs or 6.5 MOAs. That's the one I ordered. I ordered the RMO7, the 6.5 MOA dot. What's the – tell people what the difference is in the dot size and why that's important.
Well, the dot size is in minutes of angle or MOA, and it's the apparent size of the dot at 100 yards. So a 2 MOA dot would appear to be 2 inches wide at 100 yards, whereas a 6.5 would be 6.5 inches wide. And one of the reasons that I prefer the smaller dot is just for the precision of it. And I had LASIK years ago, and I tend to have point sources of light halo a bit. So a 6 MOA dot is going to look like an 8 or a 9 to me. So a 2 actually looks probably like about what a 4 would look like to a normal person. So that halo effect, I want to go with a smaller dot. Not only that, when you're looking at targets at distance, you figure that, you know, the average distance of between shoulders is about 19 inches. So if you're looking at something with a 6 MOA dot at 100 yards, you know, you're looking at a 6-inch circle on a 19-inch torso. So with a 2-inch circle on a 19-inch torso, you've got a little more fudge room.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you probably noticed it helps you a lot. The whole concept of having a red dot on a pistol helps you a lot at long distance shooting, right?
Absolutely. It's almost stupid easy. There's been times where I've had students in class. I'd hand them the red dot, tell them what to do, and they'd be able to hit steel at, 50 yards or 75 or 100 yards, first or second shot, and they've never used a red dot before. So as long as they have good mechanics, they have a good grip, they have good stance, they have good breath control, they have good trigger control, they have good follow through, they're going to get the hits. Now, being able to line something up very quickly with a red dot makes it just that much easier.
Yeah, and here you and I are talking about making shots at 50 or 75 or 100 yards. I still run into people and talk to people every once in a while that say, why would you ever want to take a 50 or a 75-yard shot with a pistol? You want to speak to that?
Well, that is going to lead us into the terrorist interdiction class discussion, so maybe we want to save that one to the end. But I think really part of it is it's just a lot of fun to be able to do it. And when we get into the terrorist interdiction class, we'll talk a little bit more about distance shooting. But for me, it's just really kind of cool to be able to get on target in a matter of a second or two, press off a shot, and have the steel ring at 100 yards.
Yeah, it is fun. I've done that, and it is really, really fun, and I'm looking forward to doing that. And we will save the answer to my question to the terrorist interdiction part of this interview. You hear a lot of people say, oh, well, if I'm going to shoot somebody at 100 yards, I'll just get out my AR-15. Well, what if you're in a situation where your AR-15 is not readily available? You've got to be able to make those shots with your handgun, and it's got to be set up to make those 75 to 100-yard shots.
Right. I mean, for the longest time prior to the red dots, we were always looking for precision sights made by aftermarket companies, because as we know, the Glock sights are adequate, but they are not in any way, shape, or form set up to do any precision shooting at distance. So you're looking at some of the aftermarket manufacturers to look for a thin front sight, a nice crisp rear sight, so that you can get the sight alignment in there. But the problem you're running into is large, blocky front sights at 100 yards will completely cover the target. So you're not really going to have anything to index on. So you go with a front sight that's much narrower, then at least you've got something that you can index on. With the red dot, it's super easy. You just put the dot on the target. So we've seen sort of a progression in distance shooting going from factory sights. Yeah, they're probably good out to about 50 yards before you really start to run into an indexing problem. Aftermarket sights can go out to 100, maybe 150. There are guys that shoot at great distance with revolvers, but again, they're customizing their sights so that they can see these targets at great distance.
Yeah. Now, some listeners might be thinking about, what about batteries and what about, maintenance and things on the red dots? What have you found on that?
It's actually really simple. What I typically do is I change my batteries on my birthday so they last a year. But as an experiment, I left a gun in my safe and the battery lasted for over 3 years. Now, what happens is in the dark, it turns the dot to a very, very low intensity. And when you're in light, it'll automatically give you a brighter dot. Now, some of the newer models you can adjust it by yourself, you can do it to where it's comfortable for your eyesight, and you like the way the dot looks. And again, too bright, it's going to wash out a little bit, and if it's too dim, you're not going to really be able to see it. So it does have the adjustment there, but the early sights were all self-adjusting, so you can just leave it in the safe, and it would be good for a number of years. A carry gun, I would say you want to do it at least every year, 18 months, something like that. The batteries do last a very long time, and they're the CR2032s, the little button cells that are about the size of a quarter. They last, and they're cheap, and you can get them at Walmart.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I ordered the Trijicon RM07 model, is because that's adjustable. I can adjust the amount of light that it's putting out.
Right, you can adjust the intensity so that it suits your eyes.
Yeah, so that it suits my eyes, and I can shut that thing off when I put it in the safe also.
Right.
If I want to do that, I'm not quite sure I'm going to do that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I like the simplicity of the ones that just adjust themselves. And like I said, you know, we've been through 8 or 9 years of abuse on this thing, and it's just still going along. It is one of the best investments I've ever made in firearms accessories. I got to say that for sure.
What about concealability? Do you find any problems with concealability with that red dot on top of your slide?
Not really. I carry in the appendix in the waistband position, just to the right of my center line. And I really don't find that there's any real difference in the way that this carries over a conventional Glock 19. It's a little taller, obviously. You have to have a holster that's designed to protect it. But other than that, there really isn't a difference.
Yeah, so concealability is there, usability, the fact that if you have older eyes and things, I mean, what's not to like? It seems like it's pretty much the way to go that most people need to start considering.
Well, again, you know, I've been working with it for a number of years, and it's one of those things that when you get it on your pistol, you get a chance to work with it at the range, you're wondering why you didn't do it 10 years ago. It really is – it's revolutionary, and it's something that people have tried over the years, and technology just hadn't caught up with it. You know, red dots have been on pistols in competition probably since the late 80s, early 90s. But you had large red dots with large mounts on them that had to attach to the frame of the pistol, and try to conceal that, it's not possible. You had to have to walk around with a race rig on your hip the entire day. So there is no concealability with those. But it's been done before, but it's never been done quite as elegantly as we've done it at Suarez International.
And, you know, it seems like with the firearms manufacturers, Glock, Smith & Wesson, FN, probably some others that I'm probably missing, recognizing the validity of a red dot and putting guns out that are ready to accept red dots right away, that says something.
It does. It took a while for mainstream to really kind of come around and take a look at this and judge it by its own merits rather than, you know, it's like, why are you putting that rifle sight on a handgun? Why is this happening? You know, so now that it's been, you know, 7 or 8 years where people have been buying these and putting them out there, and they realize that the durability is there, they realize the usability is there. Again, it's kind of an underrepresented market from the major manufacturers, and you know they're out to make a buck like the rest of us. So they recognized it and they went ahead and started producing pistols that would accept these red dots.
Yeah, good. All right, let's shift gears. You teach a class called Terrorist Interdiction. Did I get the name right?
It's Terrorist and Active Shooter Interdiction.
Terrorist and Active Shooter Interdiction. So let's talk about long distance shooting. Why? Why with a pistol?
Well, you know, you kind of hit it on the head. You know, if I'm going to use a pistol to shoot at 100 yards, why wouldn't I just go grab a rifle? And I don't know too many people that can conceal an M4 on their person and walk into a restaurant and sit down and have dinner. We just can't do it. And, you know, there's the old joke that I carry a pistol because I can't carry a cop. You know, the convenience factor of carrying a pistol in the waistband or strong side or however your carry method is, being able to conceal it and be able to walk around with it, the convenience of that can't be understated. Yeah. Is it the best tool for the job? In most instances, probably yes, but there's going to be some instances where you're going to have to take a tool that's not really designed to do a particular job and maybe press it into that. You know, it's like going through your toolbox and you realize, you know, I don't really have the right size wrench for this particular job, but I'm going to figure out how I can make this work. And with a pistol, you have the convenience. Plus, with the advent of the red dot, you also have the ability to be able to push that envelope out past, you know, we were talking 20, 30 yards as a long pistol shot prior to this. Now we're talking about 100-yard shots are ridiculously easy. And in Prescott, it was 2009, I believe, 2010, we were pushing shots out past 200 yards and most of the guys, I had a RMR-equipped Glock 31, which is 357 SIG, which is extremely flat shooting and an extremely fast round for a pistol.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were ringing steel out close to 200 yards on an extremely regular basis. And it, you know, it just sort of reinforced that you can do rifle-like things with a pistol. And there's all kinds of other things you can do with a pistol to make it more rifle-like. But again, when you're just the general public concealed carry guy, you're not going to have the desire to do a lot of what we would do in class. You just want to go to your safe, put your gun on, walk out the door, go do what you need to do during the course of the day, and then have tools available if you have to do something extraordinary.
But, Jack, what do you say to somebody that says, hey, Jack, why would I ever want to take a 50 or a 75-yard shot with a pistol? When am I ever going to have to do that?
Hopefully never.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully never. But as we've seen in the last few years, the incidence of sudden jihad syndrome and, you know, we've got active shooters that have happened several times a year. It's actually started – they started considering them active shooters in the 40s. So this isn't a new phenomenon. It's been going on for a number of years. And if you are in a shopping mall, for instance, and you hear shots and you come around and you realize there's a guy in the atrium with an AK-47 and you're 70 yards away, are you going to try to close or are you going to try to take that shot with the equipment you have available? You don't have a rifle. The police response is, 5 minutes away at best, 15 or 20 minutes at worst, and you don't want this guy to continue to kill people. So what are you going to do? Are you going to take the shot or are you going to just sit there and twiddle your thumbs? We're giving students and concealed carry holders, we're giving them the ability to extend their ability further than they ever thought possible.
Yeah, I like what you said earlier, sudden jihad syndrome. That's a new disease for some people, isn't it?
Absolutely is. And we're seeing more and more of it. We're seeing more and more of it here in the States, and it's something that we didn't see. You know, Middle Eastern countries saw it. African countries saw it. You saw it in India. It just didn't happen in the States. And now we're seeing it happen more often. The Pulse nightclub is a perfect example. You know, a guy goes in, shoots up the nightclub, and the number of dead was just, it was astounding how many people got killed.
Yeah, and if people are not equipped to take those long shots, if they're not equipped with their skills to be able to do it and with the equipment to be able to do it, I think a lot of people would probably pass on that shot.
They certainly would. And I know that 20 years ago when I was just really kind of getting into the training world and starting to take other classes, that shot would have been beyond my skill set. 40 yards, 50 yards, I would have taken it in a heartbeat. But anything past that with a pistol, you got to be kidding me. No, it's not going to happen. And now we've got pistols that are accurate enough. You've got aftermarket barrels that give you that next little bit of accuracy that you might need. The tolerance is a little closer. The bullet flies a little truer. Now you've got red dot sights. You've got the ability to get a good sight picture at 100 yards and be confident in your skill set, your trigger press, and the equipment that you have and be able to make these kind of shots.
And like you were saying earlier, if you're carrying a caliber like 357 SIG, where it's extremely high velocity for its type of cartridge and very flat shooting, you really got a good setup.
It's really interesting to shoot that gun. I've since sold it. But I've got to tell you, it's probably – the way it was set up with the RMR, it was probably the most accurate pistol that I owned at the time. And, the 19s, since it's a 9mm, you've got to worry a little bit about trajectory. With 357 SIG, it's as close to point and shoot as you can get at distance.
Yeah, that's interesting. Makes me want to get a Glock 32 again, fourth generation Glock 32.
I had a third gen that I absolutely loved.
Yeah, putting an RMR on that, that might be the next toy that I might get.
You can't have too many of them, that's for sure. Most of mine are 9mm, but I have 3 17s and a 19. I'm probably going to add another 19 to the stable here fairly soon, RMR equipped.
Yeah, you can never have enough Glock 19s.
I know they kind of breed in the drawer. I don't know what's
going
on.
Yeah, they do. And then and now they're breeding with with RMRs on top of their slides too.
If they'd only go a little faster, I could definitely use them coming to the house a little bit quicker than they do.
Well, sometimes the wallet or the space on the credit card slows that down a bit.
That's true, and that's one of the issues that comes up in class, especially when you're demoing stuff in a red dot class. You know, you've got the guys that are saying, well, you know, gosh, you know, this site is expensive. It's almost as much as the gun. In some instances, it may be more than the gun, depending on what you paid for the pistol. And for me, it is such a great insurance policy to let me know that there are things that I can do with that pistol that a normal human can't do with iron sights.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack, we got about 5 minutes left. So what I'd like you to do is tell people a little bit about what you teach in the active shooter terrorist interdiction class, because you got one coming up, I'm pretty sure, and I'm going to be taking that. It's going to be here in San Antonio, I imagine, right?
That's correct.
So talk about it. What goes on in that class?
Well, one of the things that we do, and we spend a little bit of time on the history of the active shooter problem, and we examine a lot of the historical, the big historical active shooter incidents. Yeah, you've got the one at the in Austin, University of Texas, in the 60s. You've got the New Life Church. You've got Columbine, and there's, you know, you got Pulse Nightclub. There's dozens of them that we kind of take a look at, and we kind of go through and we dissect them and take a look at what happened. There's a lot of shooting at distance, as one might gather in a class of this nature. We're trying to get the students to stretch themselves a little bit, and then through that process of stretching the shots out a little further and a little further, we're getting them the confidence to be able to take shots at that kind of a range. We talk about what to do if you are caught without your gun as well. There's some techniques that we will teach the students on unarmed and improvised weapons and knife techniques and things of that nature. So it's kind of a very well-rounded class on how to deal with that problem from a close up and personal 0 to 5 type of a situation, all the way out to 100 yards or even further, depending on whether the range will allow us to shoot that far out.
Yeah, that sounds like good stuff. I'm looking forward to that class, because these days we face a different type of adversary than we did probably 15 or 20 years ago. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, this definitely. The adversaries that we saw 15 or 20 years ago were not as well trained. I don't think they were as committed. And now the adversaries are being let in on a daily basis with the government's blessing.
Yeah, they're just being given that nice open door saying, hey, we're the USA, come on in. We love you here, even though you have sudden jihad syndrome.
Well, you know, you look at the last 5 or 6 incidents that we've had in the last year or so, and they're all immigrants.
Yeah. Well, man, I tell you what, a certain person that has been running for office has been talking about that. And boy, I tell you, a lot of people have been really upset about him, but he was telling the truth, wasn't he?
You know, actually, he's been telling the truth. And I think that some of the other candidates from past elections have been telling the truth, and people just don't want to hear it. And it's, you know, not to get into a political discussion, but it's just, it really is beyond my comprehension how we can say, all right, well, we're not going to vet these hundreds of thousands of people that are coming to the United States from a country that is openly hostile to us.
Yeah. We're not facing Johnny Crackhead with a switchblade much anymore, are we? It's a lot different scenario.
It's a lot different scenario. Johnny Crackhead with a switchblade is – that's minor league.
I mean, it's not like you – I'm not saying you won't ever face him, but you need to have a skill set that goes beyond that and something that can find Johnny Jihad and take him out too.
Exactly, because Johnny Crackhead may not be quite as committed if he knows that he has someone that is not going to just roll over and give him what he wants. So, but the you know, the motivations are different. He's looking for his next fix. The folks that are doing the sudden jihad syndrome, they're looking to kill as many people as they can, and they're looking to spread their particular ideology by force if necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Well, we're pretty much right at the time limit, and Jack, you've given people a lot of things to think about, and I appreciate you doing this. Go ahead and advertise all the classes you got coming up.
Well, we don't have dates set yet, but there's going to be our CRG offering is going to come to San Antonio probably in the early second quarter of next year. Terrorist Interdiction will most likely be sometime in mid-third quarter. So there's going to be 4 to 5 classes that will be happening here in the San Antonio area, bringing in a couple of instructors to teach some other different disciplines. Brent Yamamoto has said that he wants to come in and do the ground fighting and fighting for your gun class, which I find that is a skill set that most people don't have. What do you do if you're on the ground? How do you deal with it?
That's important. That's important because so many fights go to the ground.
As much as you don't want them to, a lot of them end up there. And you have to have at least a few skills on the ground to be able to either get up to your feet or fight for your gun and end the fight.
Yeah, and I'd like to take this opportunity to tell people that already have red dots or those on order. John Payne is coming to San Antonio February, I think it's the 17th and 18th. You can check the Suarez International website for the exact dates if I got that wrong. But he's teaching Red Dot Pistol School. I think it's 16th, 17th, and 18th of February.
Well, I'll definitely be there to help him out. So you'll get the benefit of at least 2 Suarez instructors for that class.
Yeah, and that's going to be – yeah, thank you. I'm glad you're going to do that. And that's going to be right here in San Antonio. Yeah, okay, now I'm looking at my calendar. It's the 17th, 18th, and 19th of February. It's a 3-day class at Cedar Ridge Range in San Antonio. So anyway, Jack, well, good. I'm glad you're going to be there at that class. And this was a good interview. Thanks very much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for – it's the first time I've ever heard somebody use the term sudden jihad syndrome. I like that.
I can't say that I invented it. Like, I didn't invent the red dot TV screen of death either, but I certainly use it.
All right. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jack. Thanks for donating your time. That was very good. Folks, if you're going to spend the money on a red dot site for your pistol, also go to a class to learn how to use it. It's like any other piece of equipment, brand new piece of equipment. Go learn how to use it to get the most effectiveness out of it. If you can't join me and John Payne and Jack at the class in San Antonio, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, find somebody teaching how to use a red dot near you. There might even be some other Suarez International classes that are near you that are teaching the red dot sighting system. Let me close the show by saying this. If you like the Handgun World podcast and you get some benefit out of it, consider supporting me by making your purchases through my Amazon store. If you go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store link, and then every time you make an Amazon purchase, do that. You'll be supporting the Handgun World podcast, and you don't even have to spend any extra money. How cool is that? I know you're doing Christmas shopping on Amazon, so please do it through my Handgun World podcast store. If you follow my Facebook page, I put a link on there. You can also download an app to your iPhone that will be a link through to my store and do it that way. So I'd appreciate you doing that. Remember, Concealment Solutions is a sponsor. They make phenomenal holsters. You get 10% off if you just use the coupon code SDRN. That's SDRN when you check out. You get 10% off the great holsters over at Concealment Solutions, and you can find them at concealmentsolutions.com. Folks, thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Sometimes it causes them to get sudden jihad syndrome. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.